You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and I am your host, Dave Hodges, and sometimes I wonder why the heck am I doing this show? It's Paul Martin. Contacted me the other day, and I have to tell you, I've drawn the ire of Jeff Sessions and other people connected to Trump who I want to see fired, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But Paul sent me a text, says, you better get remote car opening, and I thought I'd just throw that out there, because if I become a roasted wiener, then you know why. Speaking of Paul Martin, I want to read to you something, Sheila, that he sent to me during the break, and Paul is very well connected, and our interviews on YouTube are legendary. Short, right to the point. He sent this 35 minutes ago. They have put our nuclear bombers on 24-hour alert. So that doesn't mean anything's going to happen. I mean, you can go to DEFCON 97, and it doesn't mean something's going to happen, but you know, we were buzzing North Korean airspace yesterday with nuclear bombs, and we're doing a lot of provocative things. And Sheila, what do you think about that? You think Paul's onto something there?
Yeah, I think he's onto something. Well, but isn't it always interesting? All these things happen when there's some massive collaboration going on, and it just seems like there's always the look over here, the hand, you know, the slipping hand of the smoke and mirrors, Dave.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, hey, nothing to see here. Look over there. You're right.
Well, you know, I think the gods of America are coming down, Dave. I mean, we were talking about the NFL attendance diving faster than Megyn Kelly's ratings on my show. I can't help but think that God is exposing things. You know, it says in Luke 8:17, there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. There's nothing concealed that's not going to be brought out into the open. And, you know, look at Corey Feldman. He was just arrested after speaking out about Hollywood pedophiles. You find that really interesting timing?
Yeah, he was getting ready to go on stage and do a concert when the police snatched him. And I've got a podcast coming out about that, too. It's in process right now, delayed release. Be out tonight, about 10, 11 p.m. Pacific. And you're right, and the timing is too suspicious. Corey Feldman, by the way, issued a tweet, Sheila, and I wish I had it in front of me, so I'll have to paraphrase. He basically said, talk show host, don't contact me. I'm not giving interviews for the safety of my family, but these people need to be held accountable for their heinous acts. So they got him running scared now, and I can't say as I blame him.
Well, but a lot of also Tinseltown cockroaches are scattering and throwing everyone under the bus. So when all hell is breaking loose in Hollywood, I think there's something else going on, and we're just scratching the surface. It's not just Corey Feldman. You know, look at Barbara Walters, she's like a demon saying, how dare you, you know, possibly expose the elite Hollywood pedo rings. I mean, you and I talked about years ago, Dave, about the DSM-5, how they were normalizing pedophilia. It's not a criminal act, Dave. It's just a preference. We talked about that being straight out of the pit of hell. We talked about the United Nations Human Rights Council. You know, they were trying to normalize pedophilia the last decade or so, Dave. You and I both exposed that.
I know, but look what happened to Nancy Schaefer. And she was trying to expose it when she became a Georgia state senator. and they forced as a pedophilia, got her out of office. She wouldn't shut up. She started using YouTube and speaking in Europe and raising awareness, and she died in a murder-suicide. Let's see, her husband shot her in the head, and then he shot himself in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at the BBC reporter. She was the one who exposed pedophilia while she was just found dead. You and I did lots of shows on Jimmy Savile and the disgusting satanic royal family and the pedo rings going to the highest levels. Oh, by the way, Dave, that's a show that got my YouTube channel taken completely down. We talked about Jimmy Savile and all those devils. You look at the pedophilia network that was just cops busted raping and filming cadets to make child porn. Did you see that headline? I mean, we're talking about mass demonic possession gripping America. Look at Antifa with 50,000 little hooded miscreant. You know, is this going to be a bloodbath? Is this going to be the start of civil war? Is it going to, you know, acquiesce us to martial law? Is that the playbook, Dave?
Well, I think it is, Sheila, and I think that is the playbook. Hear no evil, see no evil, and we talked about this in the last hour. You know, suppress the news coming out of our side while championing the nonsense coming out of the other side. But, Sheila, I've even discovered this. The liberals are even eating their own. They're at war with each other. Let me give you an example. I published an article a couple of months ago in which I detailed how the Miami paper, Miami Daily, and the Chicago Daily have filed complaints publicly that Google is basically blocking traffic to their paper's online websites. Well, wait a minute. The Chicago papers are not liberal? The Miami paper is not? Are you kidding me? But they're even going after them. So we're seeing a battle even amongst the elite right now. And really, who's heading this is Google. Google controls 80% of all search engines. And in fact, I know we weren't going to talk about this, but let's talk about this. I found something today that I did a podcast that's coming out. Have you heard about this? The digital super cities in the sky? They're going to have theme parks, and you're going to live in the sky, and it's all done by Google. Have you heard of this?
Is this taking the stack and packs to a whole new level, Dave?
No. This isn't us. See, I think it was Elysium. Wasn't that where there was a bifurcated society and one lived up in the cosmos above us and looked down on Earth and they were the privileged ones, and the peons lived below and had a horrible life filled with squalor and premature death? And this is, they didn't talk about the people who will be left behind on the Earth, but they talked about these digital cities in the sky. And it, you know what it reminded me of? Capital City in the Hunger Games. They lived a whole different life, except this particular capital city being developed by Google is going to be orbiting above us.
Well, it reminds, well, you talked about Elysium. I mean, transhumanism on steroids. You know, remember those guys in the movie were jumping into the pod and it would say cancer being removed? I mean, this is right out of the Ray Kurzweil playbook of becoming gods, really. Look at the poster boy for transhumanism, Ray Kurzweil, what he said last week. We're almost there, Dave, to be able to upload our brains into these avatars. I mean, this is things that are right out of a sci-fi.
It is amazing. But the cities part caught my eye. I mean, we've got Google Glass. They're into transhumanism, you know, the singularity concept. You know, I've done shows with Pat Wood on this particular topic. Google's just creating a whole different reality, and I think what we're looking at is Hunger Games in the sky, and the rest of us who are allowed to survive, we are going to be their servants. And I said those who will survive. And what's interesting about this also, Sheila, is the fact that Google's actually proud of it, and they're promoting it. There's no cover-up. They're being blatantly open about this.
You mean gulag?
Yes. That's a good term for them.
We're not just talking about these nefarious DARPA projects that you and I have always uncovered, the transhumanist push. You know, we're not just talking about uninhabited combat vehicles with entire squadrons of robot planes, Dave, or these entire fleets of robot-driven military vehicle. We're talking about the transformation and augmentation of human beings in profound ways. We've talked about these DARPA projects. We've talked about these sinister... There's actually an article up right now that talks about new virtual reality that's going to simulate this plethora of kids nowadays that are, you know, video... It's all video game. Young men don't even want to have any relationships with girls. That's too much issue. So now they're using sex bots in brothels, Dave, and they're getting rave reviews better than human women. I mean, what planet are we on, Dave?
I'm thinking about taking the fifth on that particular story in question. It is so disgusting. It's such an abomination to our Lord's creation that it really almost defies comment.
Well, we're always being constantly told by these eugenicists such as Ted Turner and Bill Gates. Oh, there you go. Bill and Ted's Excellent Depopulation Adventure. There's a new movie. You know, the world is overpopulated, that something must be done to reduce the population or we're doomed. You know, Al Gore is back out there pushing the climate catastrophe. Wrote a book on it, Green Gospel. I cover that. It seems like it's, I don't know, with the GMO frankenfoods being pushed, you know, Mike Adams always talks about that, the fluoride in the water, the dangerous geoengineering, the chemtrails, the Morgellons disease now, CERN opening something, I mean, the power grid, the EMPs. Yeah, I mean, Dave, it's just like a recipe for a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah. Sheila, let me ask you this question. I was up in Prescott yesterday, and my son was playing in a golf tournament, so my wife and I went up and watched. And it would start out as a completely blue sky, the perfect day. And you could see the chemtrails Xing on the horizons. And then pretty soon, before you knew it, all these chemtrails had spread and had actually become a cloud cover. What do you think the real purpose of chemtrails is? Have you satisfied yourself that you know the answer?
Well, one of the things I think, I covered this in, again, my book, Green Gospel, is, you know, nothing is as what it seems, but we do know that they were doing a lot of cloud seeding back in the 1990s to combat global warming, or then it was climate change, and it was, you know, climate weirding, climate radicalization. I mean, there's always a new term for that. I call it weather, as I point out, but here's the thing we don't understand, is when they are... with the aluminum, the barium, the strontium, when they're putting these hellish concoctions in the air, they don't understand what they're doing to the ecosystem, Dave. But see, this is the thing. We've got to do something about this climate catastrophe. The green agenda is a very sinister... Well, you and I have talked about Agenda 21 for a decade. It's a very sinister depopulation agenda. The Pope is back in the news talking about a one-world global climate authority. I mean, something stinks in Denmark with that, Dave.
It really does. In fact, let's go back to the digital city for a minute. I forgot to mention this. In the Google self-description, they talk about controlling climate. Wait a minute. The media, mainstream media, tells us when we talk about climate control, we're crazy conspiracy theorists. But here's Google saying, yeah, we're going to do this in this digital city we're creating. We're going to control climate. It's just, the duplicity is just amazing to me. But they've been so exposed that they can't cover everything up anymore. And it's almost like, I think they're saying to themselves, why bother?
Well, and also, kind of concurrent to that, what do we have as we have, I covered this story last week, a team of researchers from Boston University exploring the possibility of enhancing a person's ability to control their behavior. In short, it's to change how people think, Dave, by stimulating the brain. And when you get into this turbo charge of hell report where they talk about, oh, we know the two brain regions that influence how we learn, how we think, we stumbled across a video 4 years ago about, they said they could actually deal with infants to take out the part of the brain that would believe in God. Now step back and think about, just mull that over for a second, folks. This is what we're talking about, Dave.
I'm almost speechless when you talk about that. Speaking of taking God out of the brain of infants, I'm not suggesting this is already happening, but I read recently that young people in increasing numbers are preferring witchcraft and the occult over Christianity.
Well, exactly, and that's the stunning thing. I mean, they don't mind. The LA paper, this is mainstream news, talking about witches casting spells. You know, this is shocking, Dave, that there's hoodoo, voodoo, front page news of incantations, divination. I have a really interesting show coming up Monday. High-level former Satanist John Ramirez is talking about Halloween. Actually, stunned. He's stunned that Christians celebrate it. But listen, Dave, if somebody tried to recruit you into a witch coven, they would teach you your power and authority and how to take dominion. Well, here's the thing. Why don't Christians recognize that we're not using our power, but they'll recognize dark powers? It's okay for Hillary to poke her little voodoo doll, but why aren't churches not teaching spiritual warfare? We're not fighting flesh and blood, Dave. We're fighting against principalities and rulers and principles. These dark, let some guy, you know, break in your house and kick your door down and mop the floor up with your family. No, you would, well, what did we say in our show before? We're talking about the gun grab. Guys in Texas, they're not going to relinquish their weapons. So why are Christians not using their God-given weapons, Dave? That's my question.
Well, in what regard do you mean their God-given weapons? I know what you mean, but I'd like you to go there.
Well, I think that here's the problem. Again, if I was going to recruit somebody in a witch coven, I would show them their weapons of warfare, so to speak. How to they cast spells. Christians recognize that. They recognize those dark powers. But when you go to these cotton candy, comatose, seeker-friendly, emergent church, three hymns and a PowerPoint and preaching out of the Reader's Digest, I mean, it's nothing about a risen life. It's nothing about how to take back our place, how to take back our country. In our war rooms, we're certainly not being taught that in these churches, Dave. And so that's the thing, is we've got to get back to the basics about how to learn to, well, Luke 10:19 says we're given power and authority over all the power of the enemy. So why are we not getting how to do that? That's my question.
Well, how would you answer that question? If I was smart enough to have thought of that question in the first place, what would Sheila Zielinski say?
Well, I think one of the things that I tried to address in my book, because I didn't need to put out this book, I have these prayers. And I said, could it be that a key element of praying very powerfully is being left out altogether? And here's the big secret. This is the bombshell that I let out in this book, is that prayer is when you're addressing God. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. But guess what, Dave? Too many people are leaving that last part out. And God gave us the rod of authority, just like he says in Exodus 14. So why are we not using our weapons of warfare? We ought to be storming the enemy's camp and kicking butt and taking names. I told you before in a show that, well, we were coming against Hillary Clinton and all her spell binding and spell casting and this hoodoo, voodoo, divination, witch of the West. I mean, we know that she's a fourth degree high level coven witch. That's not even a secret anymore, Dave. So why are we allowing these depopulationist globalist eugenicists to cast spells on Trump? We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be fighting back. And where do we do that? I really believe when life gets too hard to stand, kneel. And I'm not talking about taking a knee out there on the NFL, which, by the way, it's so interesting that, you know, I posted a picture of a Navy veteran who had his leg blown off, and I said, that's what taking a knee for your country looks like. So it goes back to this, Dave. It's so absolutely imperative that Christians start waking up out of their coma, snapping out of their dystopic trance, and realizing that it's a slap in the face to what Jesus died to give us, not just abundance and prosperity. And yes, there's a lot of people that have spun this whole prosperity thing. I know people tune out of the whole prosperity, but that's in the Word of God. And we need to be standing on the real Word of God. We need to be in our Bibles. We need to be praying every day, taking authority. Getting this book is a good thing because it teaches you how to do daily warfare. when there's a problem, I always say, how much are you praying about it rather than talking about it? We should be, like I do, Winston. I know my group does this. There's 13 of us on a prayer call every single Wednesday night, and we do spiritual warfare on that. We ask that God would expose the hand of evil every night. We do that. So who else is storming the enemy's gates? And, you know, it's like the guy that says, I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick butt, and I'm all out of bubble gum. That's how we should be addressing the enemy.
So what's blocking us?
Well, I think one thing is that, you know, what are we seeing in America? I think this feel-good Christianity, like I said, this whole seeker-friendly emergent church, I think the days of that is over, Dave. I think that we need to have a revival in this country. You know, a lot of people get mad at me. They say, oh, Sheila, you're not being nice. You're not being friendly, and you're not responding in nice, loving Christian, let's have a group hug manner. No, Dave, I just refuse to be polite to the devil. And this is the thing. I mean, we see all these Hollywood Satanist devils. Rodney Howard Brown was just on my show, and he was talking about the fact that, hey, and, you know, right, oh, he's calling out pedophiles and saying that these top elites are actually really Satanists doing blood sacrifices. Why do people tune out of that when we talk about things like that? Because of high-level mind control. They use mind control tactics right in the church, Dave. We've actually found this out on record. They pump oxygens into church. They use neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, I really believe that not just is God pulling back the hand of evil that's going on, because like I said, Luke 18, what does Luke 8 say? Nothing is going to remain unexposed. And so I think we're just in the very start of what God is fixing to do. And I think if there's going to be a mass revival in this country, because a good feel good, you know, this whole American feel good Christianity, it's coming to an end. This whole watered down, nothing about Jesus, it's all about me, motivational speaking from the pulpit, it's coming to an end. And I think these false prophets, which come to us in, well, the scripture says, come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. These wolves are leading people over a cliff to a devil's hell, Dave. And they always say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. Well, when people say that, clearly they don't know the word, because we're going to judge righteous judgment, it says in John 7:24. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So that's, I guess I've got a news flash for all the listeners, Dave. God is getting fed up with the claimants. The sheep are going to be exposed soon. I think they're going to be separated. The wolves, the fake sheep, the goats. I think it's all getting ready to implode, is what I think.
In what form? How do you see this unraveling?
Well, I really believe that we're going to... Well, look at Ananias and Sapphira. What happened to them when they stole God's resources? I think we're going to see people drop dead in the pulpit. And I know I'm going to get a gasp from your audience, but I really believe it's going to be Ananias and Sapphira time. I think resources are going to come out of these fake prosperity churches. I think people are going to get exposed for the devils that they are. And I think this is what you're going to see. God is getting fed up with all this, Dave. And I think that he's getting ready to do something. Because how much more of this can we really take in this country, Dave? There's good God-fearing people that are out there, and they don't know what to do. They almost feel like they're helpless, because guess what? Everyone's fear-mongering. Well, we need to take a little fast from the news, and I think we need to talk about the good news. We're in a lateness of the hour. There's never been a time that we have seen in history where we need Jesus more, Dave.
I agree with you. So let's be the Jesus Brigade for a moment. How do we get this ball rolling?
Well, one thing I say to people, hey, listen, go to your church, ask your pastor about the New World Order is step one. And if he says, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, find a new church. So that's step one. Step two, get out of these clergy response team. You and I have talked about that before. Get out of those 501c3 churches. I really think they are straight out of the pit of hell. We tie them back to Planned Parenthood, how they're funding all these devilish agendas, the gay agenda, which, by the way, the NFL is the biggest gay promulgating, anti-American, ungodly organization ever, that's also put a lot of money into the gay agenda, Dave, the gun grabbing, So, I mean, some of these churches are glorified social clubs. So people, I think, have to come out of that, and they have to realize they have superior weaponry out there. They have to find like-minded people in their communities that are willing to start a Bible study, start a prayer group, do something. It's, you know, it's time we as believers stop living in this defeated place of bondage, just frustrated. We can change things in the spiritual realm. And in fact, I know we can't see into the spiritual realm, but it's every bit as real than what you see in front of your face, folks. And it's time to use the authority that God gave us through Jesus Christ, I believe, Dave. That's a start.
Well, I totally agree with you. But you're talking about groundswell from the bottom up. That's going to take time. Do you think we have enough time to effect a change if we only start from the bottom up?
Well, I think the big thing right now is we got to get back to the basics. You know, it's like, get off of social media all day. You got time for Instagram, Twitter, and 10 million Facebook posts. Get off of those things. Get up tomorrow morning. Get in the Word of God. Start getting on your knees, asking God to, you know, show you what is your, you know, all you get in this life is a little bitty dash, Dave. What are you going to do with your dash that you have remaining? Even if we have a lateness of the hour, what are people doing right now to impact the kingdom of God? The fields are white, the Bible says. So I think people need to ask God, okay, God, you know what? Here I am. I'm not a perfect person, but use me, Lord, in whatever capacity this is. And I believe that God will start showing people, Dave, we have got to stand against evil. The time for being a lukewarm Christian, a fence sitter, that's over, Dave, I believe.
Well, I do agree with you. Man is being forced to choose. But I look at the breakdown like this. So let's look at this demographically and numerically. People, I went through in an article I produced yesterday, and basically I listed 25 things that I thought characterized the Democratic Party. And none of them were good, and some of them were downright heinous. I think 25% of the country is happy to live a hedonistic lifestyle that the Democrats present and promote, and they'll be willing to give up all their liberties and their sovereignty to lead this hedonistic lifestyle. I think another 25% just want to be left out. You know, they just want to be left alone and don't want to be bothered, and the trouble will never visit their door. And then there's 50%, of which very few do any work, but they're aware of what's going on, but most don't act. I mean, go ahead and tweak those numbers, if you will. Comment on that breakdown, if you will.
Well, I think this is the whole thing we're buying into. I mean, this is all the like, people get into this duopoly. They're the same ugly wings of the same ugly bird, Dave. And that's the thing. It's all an illusion. And that's what people need to understand. It's time to kind of step back from all that and, you know, realize that look at all the forms of illusion that are going on. Look at the gods of the world coming down right now. Like the NFL, Roger Goodell just said on record this morning, boy, like, something's got to give here. We have empty NFL stadiums. Hollywood's crashing. The NFL's crashing. The pedophiles are scrambling. Again, it goes back to, what is God doing in this lateness of the hour? You know, we're not promised tomorrow, Dave. And that's, I feel an urgency in my spirit to tell the people, listen, it is time to take things back. And the only way I think that we can really do that is by the power of prayer. James 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what does it do? It availeth much. That's not some cutesy phrase that was just put in there for filler. This is a time to get in our war rooms and fight back against the hosts of hell, Dave.
I wrote in that same article I just referenced that final victory will not be achieved against these Satanist cabalists until the Lord throws them all into the lake of fire. I think the only thing we can hope to do, and this is maybe where we can have a little debate or discourse on this, I think the only thing that we can hope to do is to keep the ideas of freedom, and most importantly, the Ten Commandments, our religion, keep that alive and try to hold our own until reinforcements come, and the reinforcements will be the second coming of Christ. What do you think?
Well, I think, well, we're obviously marching towards this Antichrist one world order. We know the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. For anyone that is a Christian, we know that. Prophecy is on fire. in the world today. So we know where things are leading. But the good news is, you know, there is good news in all of this. You know, even if things are, you know, marching to a drum of this Antichrist system, look at the global banking cartel, Dave. Look at the cashless society. All these things are talked about in the Word of God. So we know where ultimately things lead. We know what happens to Satan in Revelation 19 and 20. Go read it. We know that we win in the end. But my urgency is to tell people, listen, you're not even promised tomorrow. It is time to get on your knees, repent. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, he's not talking to pagans out there or non-believers. He said, if my people turn from their wicked ways, repent, and really get back to God, that he will turn things around. Has Trump maybe given us a bit of a reprieve? What happens when the restrainer is pulled back? Right now, we haven't seen nothing yet, Dave. That's a scary part. It's like the old song goes, you know, Bachman Turner Overdrive, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's right. When the restrainer gets pulled back, all bets are off. This will be child's play compared to what's coming when the restrainer is removed. So what's going to happen then? You better be right with God. That's really my overwhelming message in the lateness of this hour is it's time to get right with God. All this other stuff really at the end of the day doesn't matter if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know if you got hit by a bus tonight where you would be going eternally? That's the question.
That is a great question, and it's one that people avoid on a daily basis because they live on someday aisle. Someday aisle, I'll put my hedonism behind it, and I'll go ahead and live the right life. Someday aisle, pray as I should. But someday aisle may never come because people won't see things sneaking up on them. Sheila, if Hillary had been elected president, how do you think our life would be right now, 10 months in?
Oh, boy. Well, I think we'd all be rounded up in a FEMA camp. Not to say that we couldn't still be. And I guess that's the part of, you know, the bigger overarching agenda, Dave, is, yeah, they would like to usher in the United Nations, every blue hat, you know, pummeling an American household door. They'd like to kick in doors, round you up, take you off to FEMA. You and I have talked about this for years, even how the NFL, maybe that's why they're emptying out the stadiums, Dave.
I hadn't thought of it that way, Sheila. How interesting is that? And we should mention that to new listeners. In 2012, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, every major sports league, and also Simon Properties, who are the biggest owner of malls and strip malls in North America, they all collectively signed an agreement with DHS that said, in an emergency, that we declare an emergency, we can use your facilities to house people, impromptu FEMA camps. They practiced it too, Sheila.
Yeah, can you spell Operation Mountain Guardian, Dave?
There you go. There you go. People say, oh, they'll never do that. Where's the proof? Well, they practiced it. In fact, this is how bad it got. They sent buses to Denver public schools without notifying parents, without even notifying the principals of the school. They just showed up, and DHS said, FEMA said, we're taking your kids. Where? Oh, we're taking them over to Sports Authority Field where the Broncos play. Okay, go ahead. And when Mommy showed up to take Billy to his dentist appointment at noon and he wasn't there, there were some really pissed off parents and they tried to storm the gates at Sports Authority Field. In fact, they had gone as far, Aaron Dykes had reported on this, they had gone as far as to hire crisis actors to play parents in distress trying to get their kids back. And Aaron interviewed one of these people. Well, they didn't need to have the crisis actors because the real deal started showing up in Denver at Operation Mountain Guardian. If that wasn't good enough, the next month they did the same exact thing at Giant Stadium in New York. So, folks, if you don't think they don't have bad intentions with some of these stadiums, you're not paying attention.
Well, and Dave, that Giant Stadium, don't forget they called that a local law enforcement relocation drill. Yeah. I mean, come on. This was a whole... Civilians were transported to the stadium, Dave, without further warning. So, and Right Wing Watch hammered me a month ago saying Zelensky's the new reigning tinfoil hat kook on the block when I said, listen, FEMA and the NFL and DHS are partnering together. And here's the deal. We've showed declassified documents. Every NFL stadium is a FEMA camp in hiding. It's not bad enough that Americans have to be molested. It's like the guy said to me in Branson, would you like molestation or radiation? That's what they really should say at the TSA. It's not bad enough the NFL's become the newest version of it. Again, I was just flying into DFW, and it's like, ma'am, would you like me to give you a... I think they gave me a proctology exam and a breast exam in one day if I'd like my results. But here's the thing. We cannot continue to have this kind of harassment. I mean, all these sheeple lined up. I can't handle it at the airports anymore. But, Sheila, it's for your safety. FEMA and the NFL partnering for our safety. What style, Dave? Nazi, Stasi... I mean, this is, I don't, there's not even any more words. I usually can come up with good words, Dave, but I'm speechless. I mean, a blind man could see what's happening. And it's just absolutely, I guess it's heartbreaking that, you know, the liberal lemmings out there, they're just in Snoozeville and they can't see this, Dave.
Well, let me answer my own question and we kind of build off of this. And I asked you about how things would be different if Hillary were the president. I think the first thing that she would have done, we would have had a major series of false flag events across this country, and we would have had reason to do gun confiscation. I think that's the first thing she would have done. And the resistors would have gone off to the FEMA camps along with people who are the dissenters. And here's what I base this on. Do you remember Jade Helm 15 and 16? They practiced seizing dissenters and taking them to FEMA camps.
Yeah, well, this would be, this what happens, we just talked about this on my show, disarmament always leads to mass death. And this is where, what did I say, too? There's 16 bills after the Las Vegas shooting that are now sitting in Congress. Gun-grabbing bills, Dave. We talked about the bump stocks. You know, the bodies were barely even, they were still cold when Hillary Clinton came out politicizing it. Oh, well, we got to do something about these suppressors. There wasn't even suppressors used in this, Dave. But it goes back to Stephen Paddock. We still haven't got answers for one of the most, this is an absolute hideous, heinous crime, Dave. And yet, it's just still crickets chirping. When are people going to get answers to this? It's like, well, nothing to see here because guess what? We're on World War III is looming. So it just seems to me every single time we demand answers as a public, there's another smokescreen to get us looking onto something else. Forget about the Vegas shooter. That's nothing to see here, Dave. That's old news now, isn't it?
Yeah, but Sheila, there are never going to be any answers. We started off our interview talking about the release, quote-unquote, of the Kennedy documents, and we both know there's going to be nothing revealing there to see. And then, of course, I wrote an article last month on September 11th that said I have 20 unanswered questions about 9/11 that I want answered, among which was, why 16 years after the fact are people not allowed to go in and look at the evidence? Good researchers, why? That leads to conspiracy theories, and for good reason. And now we're looking here at the Vegas shooting, and we will never know the truth on that either. Now, we'll know the truth with people who are enmeshed in it and research it, but the government's never going to acknowledge anything. The FBI certainly won't, and neither will the mainstream media.
Well, one thing we were talking about on our show is we were talking about this, you know, Filipino Donald Trump. I don't know if you just saw him yesterday. He said he's going to start taking down these drug cartels with his own two fists. I mean, this guy is really, I got to hand it to this Filipino president. But here's something we never touched on. Look at this mainstream media, by the way, are desperate to keep everyone in the dark about this. But remember the company, and write this down, folks, Paradise Ranch, a joint venture with the Philippine Children's Fund of America, Dave, a nice little charity that provides a transitional home for American children. We fly from the Philippines. There is a connection. Paddock was a spook with ties to this organization. So isn't it interesting? And strangely enough, there's also a Paradise Ranch in the Philippines. His partner, Mary Lou Danley's home country, and Paradise Ranch is right next to a former U.S. Air Force base in the Clark Freeport Zone in Angeles City. Now, this is a well-known international hub of the darkest trade in the world, Dave. Child sex trafficking. And so you see this. Paddock didn't make his millions, by the way, like I said, playing video poker. I mean, obviously, the media's coming up so many facts. Let's face facts, we're not being told the truth about Paddock. He was one of them. He knew too much. He was an insider, a liability. We connect the MS-13. We just talked about that. What happened to the 13 on the dead body, too? That's, you know,
yeah, you're talking about the tattoo on the neck that's there on the body that you can't even tell who the face is. There's no 13. Yet on the man, we see this 13 tattoo. And by the way, I'll back up. I'll tell you where the 13 comes from. MS-13 are political hitmen for the drug cartels and also their friends and partners, the terrorists. And they're involved in the Philippines. In fact, when Duterte, the leader of the Philippines, came in and killed 2,000 drug dealers and called Obama the son of a whore and said, stay away from me, I'm not talking to you. And then he went on and he arrested 3,000 online child sex traffickers. That made him a target, and so ISIS forces were brought in to attack Philippine cities. And that wasn't hidden. The mainstream media reported it just as I said it. Paddock is part of ISIS. They claim him. Paddock, therefore, would be part of MS-13 because I received a tip, and now it's been validated all over the place. Before I went on the air on October 1st, the date of the massacre, I went on the air, Sheila, with the knowledge that Antifa was calling for revolution across the country and provoking a revolution, and that they are partnering with MS-13 and ISIS. Well, let's go back to the Philippines. Here you have Paddock with a 13 tattoo on his neck in real life, and ISIS claims him as his own, and we know the Paradise Ranch connection. This is what Paddock's all about. This is who he was and what he was doing. He ran the guns in for Vegas. I'm not sure he did any shooting, but he definitely ran the guns in. Sheila, why do you think the Vegas scenario was carried out? What was the bottom line in this whole thing?
Well, isn't that the $10 million question? Was it a gun-running operation gone bad? Well, I did a video on Illuminati sacrifice. We know this is a big time of year for ritual sacrifices, you know, the high places, the Luxor. I link it all back to what really happened during this harvest festival, Burning Man. We see all these pagan festivals where they, I mean, it's a huge time of year for these Satanists, too. So, you know, is that a part of this? Is it a gun-running job gone wrong? Is it a well, we know that already. We know it's probably a CIA psyop, but the underlying issue, and this is the puzzle piece to all of this, and by the way, Duterte, Rodrigo Duterte, who you're just talking about, he offered to shoot criminals himself. So when you have the president of the Philippines saying he's going to pull the trigger himself on these drug, you know, these crackdown on these drug cartels, gee, isn't that convenient that now he gets offed? This is a guy that's going after child sex trafficking. So isn't it interesting the mainstream is all over? Oh, well, look what happened. He said he was going to, you know, he's going to shoot these criminals himself. What kind of country even says that on open news? So, you know, is this where they off this guy because he knows too much about Obama and all the sinister little secrets of Obama and his pals, Dave? I don't know, but bottom line is, we're never going to get to the bottom of what happened, let's face it, are we?
I just wondered, I called, when I learned MS-13 was part of this whole operation, and they were first led into the country in the illegal immigration invasion from Central America of 2014, and I said at that time, if you're letting MS-13 in, you're letting in the possibility of having Tet Offensive attacks all over this country that are terrorist-based that will involve their partners, ISIS. And I'm sure you remember me saying that over 3 years ago. Do you think this is where Vegas is heading, or what's the next step in your estimation?
Well, I think what's happening is, I think they're just hitting us with so much that I think at this point people are just zoning out, Dave. I think it's like, well, you know, Hillary didn't get prosecuted for 33,000 emails. Whatever happened to Wienergate? What happened to Uma Aberdeen? What happened to Seth Rogen? I think Seth Rogen. I wonder, I don't know what happened to that little druggie. But listen, Corey Feldman really nailed it, didn't he? We have trails of dead bodies behind these people that come out and say anything, Dave. So why would anybody want to collude with any of this? I mean, it just, you know, you're going to get arrested, shot, suicided, shoot yourself in the back of the head 10 times. We've talked about the Dixie Mafia, shoot and ask questions later. Like, who would go up against any of these people, Dave? So I think that the whole plan is just, again, back to the Saul Alinsky playbook. You hit people with so many things. They don't look at Obama, Bathhouse Barry. We just talked about him being a major push behind. Oh, and I don't know if you saw good old Obama with the other four ex-presidents, with Lady Gagme and the Texas Relief, this big concert they did. I mean, how sick and disgusting when he comes out with his remarks against a standing president. I mean, this is just insane asylum, Dave.
And like you said, we have the counter. Talk about the counter once again and springboard it into your book, because it's a book that we need to continue to push so people can be aware and say, how do I put on the armor of God? Sheila?
Well, again, I think it really comes down to all evil, Hell's Kitchen is breaking loose. That's really what we're seeing on an epidemic scale. I mean, when you see demons that are coming out of the woodwork, you see all these sick, disgusting, satanic pedophiles running for cover. What's really on the underlying issue here, Dave? It's ubiquitous evil. And that's where the power of a prayer comes in, because when you combine regular fasting with prayer, and that is, like I said, one of the biggest weapons against the enemy and the demonic hosts of hell. This is what we're dealing with, is the demonic hosts of hell. Everyone wants to talk about hell, but you're not allowed to talk about Jesus. Everyone wants to talk about evil, and you can talk about anything else, but you can't talk about the rock of offense, which is Jesus Christ. It just makes people go crazy when you talk about it. And that's why it's so important that we as believers have to be taught how to pray effectively. And that's the problem, is, you know, prayer is used as a last resort, Dave, when it should be our first resort. And that's the bottom line, because, you know, all gross teaching and the kumbaya, let's have a group hug, coexist, church exists, seducing spirits, false doctrines, it's abound. It's ubiquitous. So it's time to get back to the basics.
Well, it truly is time to get back to the basics. And again, tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
Well, as of last week, they can go to sheila.media, that's sheila.media, and they can click on the book link.
And the response you've gotten since you first published the book, first of all, let me ask you a two-part question. How's the Christian community responding to the information you gave?
Well, a lot of them are absolutely saying it's life-changing, and it's not a plug for this book. This book came to us because hell came to our front door. And so we had to learn these things over the last two decades of being Christians. And when you're fighting hard against the enemy is only going to fight you as hard as you're doing something for the kingdom of God. So the very first week I put this book out, you know, Amazon blocked it. They said it wasn't available till 2018. It was on sale for $6.66 off. That was a big promotional rate, 666. So there was so many blocking.
Oh, I just caught that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and you know what else happened is a lady got a copy. This happened in Colorado and California. A lady got a copy of the book. So it was our cover on the outside, but it was actually Mein Kampf was inside the book. So the pages were Mein Kampf, but it was just our book cover. So there was things happening that were just, I mean, I could write a book about this book. So we were getting really hammered. They were, again, saying it was never going to be available, not delivery date unknown. And so it was really hard to put out a book like this when you are kicking the enemy right in the nuts, right? So that's what happened. We absolutely kept fighting and pushing. Finally, we got it out. We got that all resolved. And people are saying, this book changed my life. And people can go to powerprayers.ca. They can look at the testimonials. They can look at what other people are saying about the book. People like Steve Quayle, people like Apostle Ivory Hopkins, what he says, a very powerful man of God, what he says about this book. I really believe this book is a must-have. It's an arsenal of weapons that we need in these last days, Dave, because also one of the things that people don't understand is we actually also come in with a boatload of generational curses. Why do you think your doctor hands you a clipboard and wants to know if grandpa had, you know, diabetes? Because we come in, they travel down the bloodline. Generational curses, familiar spirits. What do you think's going on with all these transgender, you know, this whole movement of every other young guy thinks he's a woman trapped inside a male body? This is all demonic spirits at work, Dave, and it's time that we started addressing the enemy in the spiritual realm.
Google, Amazon, do you really think, given what you just said, I think I know the answer to the question. Do you think they're satanic?
Well, I really do believe that people at the highest level, which I've shown on record, I mean, Peter Thiel, the PayPal founder, says he drinks blood on record. I mean, what is that? Does that register with anyone as strange? So when you have top-level Google executives also saying they're into the push for transhumanism, does that raise a red flag or a glowing neon sign with anyone, Dave? Yes, I think at the highest level, it's what they showed on House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, season 8. Go look at what they start off with, Dave. This is right out of Bohemian Grove, the whole, you know, you got the 40-foot owl, you know, the Moloch. We got a Moloch on every street corner in America through Planned Parenthood, who sells baby body parts to the highest bidder. And look at the blood sacrifices these guys have been caught on record doing it in the highest levels of the Catholic Church. I mean, there is an absolute devil agenda going on here. The demons are coming out faster than, like I said, Megyn Kelly's ratings are plummeting. And we have to do something in the spiritual realm, Dave. It all starts there, I believe.
I think you're so right. And I just shake my head and I think, how did we let this get so bad? And that's a rhetorical question, Sheila. I know there's not an answer, but I didn't grow up in this kind of world. You know, I try to explain this to my 16-year-old son. How did we grow up in this crazy world? Well, Sheila, we are out of time, my friend, and I wish you continued good luck with the book. Thank you so much for your generous time on this Sunday evening, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much, Dave. It was a pleasure, and God bless your audience.
Thank you. Sheila Zielinski, ladies and gentlemen, and a true warrior for Christ, and a true warrior for the truth, and a warrior for what's right with America. Right now, kind of count on one hand what's right with America. No, let me back up. There's a lot of good people out there. We just need to get on the same team. We'll be back in hour number 3 with Mike Adams, still warming up.